I do. And the main reason I say that, guys, is because if they knew that it was going to be Deshaun Watson week one, then get him all the reps right now. Then it wouldn't make any sense to go through with this and continue the competition and give Shedeur Sanders reps this week, reps in the joint practice against Buffalo on Thursday, and then the first half Saturday.
Scott Petrick, BrownZone.com, just joined us, Chronicle Telegram, saying it is still wide open who will be the starting quarterback week one against Jacksonville and who should be, you would think, cemented in to hang on to the job as long as they can throughout the season. A lot of talk this morning about Deshaun Watson being the man. And it looked like, you know, because he got the start there. And then a little bit about, you had brought this up, the way Todd Monken kind of positioned, saying, now, whether he meant it to do that or not, that, you know, it was only fair that Shedeur got the start in game number two. So does it feel like it's leaning that way?
Nothing but interpretation on my part, so that means nothing.
Okay.
But it's just kind of the way it struck me. It just seemed it's only fair that Shedeur get his. I thought, really? Okay.
I honestly think it is wide open right now. Like, if Sanders goes out there and lights the world on fire, especially on Thursday, right? Thursday is the joint practice. So, I mean, if he looks good in the joint practice, performing with the ones, going up against the Bills ones, then I think someone's going to have a shot here, right? Someone's going to be with the ones going up against the ones with the Bills, which will be more time than we saw in this past game over the weekend against Chicago. And if one of them can just jump out, like, this is the week of, I don't want to say anticipation, opportunity. How's that sound? This is the week of opportunity for both of these quarterbacks. Who is going to be able to jump out against the Bills' number ones and be effective and move the team and be a leader out there? And I think that it's a toss-up right now. You know, I talk about return on investment all the time. To me, it would seem that Watson would have the edge based on that alone. Experience should be Watson, but I know Sanders, and I know that Sanders didn't look great, 6 of 11, 79 yards, an interception.
I thought he made three really nice throws, for whatever that's worth.
Yeah, the Floria throw was the one.
The Larvadan, the Floria, I agreed with Shedeur. He was asked what was his best pass, and he said it was the check down of the running back. I thought so, too. I thought that was really good.
I just felt like, I know, Dan, you felt the same way. Like, we just didn't get enough. Like, I wanted more Sanders. And, you know, the other thing is they decided to go for it rather than take the points on the one third down drive where they, you know, they got down to the 5-yard line. So,
yeah, I want to see more Shedeur Sanders. I think this whole thing makes total sense of why he's going to split it up this way and start Shedeur this week. And we see it from there. And we're going to keep an eye on reps for joint practices and see what this looks like as well. Guys, I just don't want to watch Deshaun Watson play quarterback. I'm done. I've seen enough. I'm good.
You felt that way for years, Dan.
Yeah. Yeah, ever since I watched him, probably the second year, I was about done.
Yep.
And now this just hammers at home more.
Not saying you're wrong, but I'm just, you haven't, your mind hasn't been changed. Albert Breer, who's a frequent guest on the afternoon show, does a great job at Sports Illustrated, obviously, and along with being with Nick and Jonathan. He wrote today, the Browns quarterback decision is likely a week away.
That's what I was going to ask you guys, if you thought this is over a week from today.
Yeah, I would think at some point.
They can't go into that New England game on a Thursday night on a quick, well, it's not really.
Well, no, Talon's going to play anyway.
Yeah.
You would think. I thought this was interesting. Breer said in his work today that in talking to, and I'll find the exact quote here, he checked with people from, some Bears folks I've talked to since Saturday, said that based on the game, Deshaun Watson looked like the best option, with doubt cast on both Sanders and Dylan Gabriel.
Yeah, we
so that's coming from Chicago people.
We haven't discussed. What did you think of Gabriel? I don't know if it's fair to break it down. Knowing
I thought he looked very comparable to Shedeur.
I've always kind of been like, okay, what does Gabriel need to do to kind of get noticed again? I don't know. I kind of felt like he went backwards.
And he's playing with
I know. He's I know with who offensive he's playing linemen with.
Who might not be able to protect you.
I just think he didn't help himself. That's all.
Well, neither did Shador, really. Neither did Deshaun, really. Andy, nobody could anybody look at any one of the performances by those three quarterbacks and say, boy, that was a great job?
No.
Exactly.
Not on any one of them.
If you put Dylan out there in the slot that Deshaun was in, I'll bet he would have looked better. Had you put Shador into the slot that Deshaun was in, I'll bet he would have looked better. So I honestly, I can't sit here and watch what they did the other day and think, oh, that guy was so much better.
No, I didn't think that
at
all.
I thought Deshaun played overall better than the other guys. But he also had the benefit of working with more higher-ranked guys on the depth chart.
I just kind of felt like I watched Deshaun play with that offensive line for like a series, and I was like,
The first series was, you know, nondescript because they gave it to Quinshon three times and it didn't go anywhere.
They got the ball down. They were moving a little bit, and so I was okay with that. Deshaun, to me, you know, I get really frustrated when he throws balls at the wide receiver's feet. It's just, it's hard to watch. When Dan says, I've seen this before.
Well, he didn't throw that many of them because all but four of his passes were completed.
It's the misses that still seem to be the same. I don't know. I feel like I'm on rinse, wash, repeat with him. So, and maybe he gives you the best opportunity to win down the road. I don't know. Are they trying to win? I can't stand the fact that that's even implanted as something that's going through my mind at any given time, knowing that they have two first-round draft picks. That's going to be. I mean, that is going to be the dark cloud hanging over this thing until you turn the page and go, okay, I'm on for next season. I'm getting ready for the dome. Who's going to be the quarterback when they get to the dome? Because they're going to draft him next year. Shador left me unsatisfied. I wanted to see a little bit more. Was he great? No, but there were plays like the ones that you were just talking about, the passes that he did complete, that made me go, huh, I want more. I want more. Gabriel, to me, and I don't know if it's – I still think Gabriel's going to be a backup in this league for a long time. I guess I've just spent all my energy thinking about could he be a quarterback in the league, and it just doesn't I mean, the fact that Gabriel can't make enough noise to knock Sanders out, even though he was drafted before him, that to me is a telltale sign. I don't know that Gabriel's here when the season starts.
Can I – I'll play complete devil's advocate.
I know you will. Go ahead.
We haven't seen Dylan since he got concussed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll cut him some slack.
He wasn't even given a chance to be the starter in this competition for whatever reason. If that's Todd Monken's evaluation, then that's okay because he's the head coach and that's what he's charged to do. Mm-hmm. That's his deal. But, you know, getting thrown in the fourth quarter of the first preseason game, try evaluating that.
Yeah, I don't know. The interception kind of. I know they all had interceptions.
All but Deshaun.
You know, you talked about.
Can I ask you one question?
Sure.
This is the way I felt after watching those guys. Tell me if you felt the same way.
Okay.
I thought, could any of those? Do I have any confidence in any of those guys going out and winning a game for me? The answer was no. Like, if I need a quarterback to win the game for me.
No.
Do I feel confident? And I didn't.
Okay. I don't either.
As of now, the one guy that if I had to pick one.
Watson?
Who I thought might give me the best chance that he can go win a game for me and make the plays to win a game. Shador.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gabriel for a second.
I would say Shador.
I think Shador
only because of the fact that it seems like he's able to get the ball downfield a little bit. And again, we're jumping and making conclusions based on one silly, stupid first preseason game.
True.
But it's obviously the big question in town right now. And I would say all three of the guys left me thinking, yeah, I don't have confidence in any of these guys if they have to go win a game for me. For instance, if I'm the Baltimore Ravens and I'm – you know, I got a minute 45 on the clock, and I'm down by four. I feel okay with Lamar Jackson.
Yeah,
you know?
That's easy.
Well, yeah. I feel okay if I'm the Bengals and I have Joe Burrow. I feel okay if I'm Kansas City. I feel okay if I'm Green Bay and I have Jordan Love. All right, this guy's going to give me a chance. Josh Allen. C.J. Stroud, maybe even in Houston, even though he's had some issues. None of these guys made me think, okay, this guy's going to go in a game for us.
I look at it and I'm like, okay, I think they'll get the ball and they'll cross the midfield and then they're going to try to get something, force something, and there'll
There's
be an
the
interception.
Bad interception.
Here comes the interception. Or...
Gentlemen, we now go live to Berea for Browns defensive end Jared Verse. This press conference is brought to you by Expert Renovations, expertrenovationsllc.com.
Yo.
How you doing?
Yeah, y'all.
Sometimes maybe it goes over the edge, but it's kind of.
I don't think it goes over the edge at all. I think fighting is necessary when you get to football. You have to have that, you know, that edge. I talk crazy. I'm very disrespectful when it comes to the way I compete, especially, you know, when I try to drive my teammates to another level. So I wouldn't expect him any less than to retaliate, because that's the type of player he is. He's a very magnificent player. And to going against him, you know, he's gotten so much better in these past couple of weeks. What has it been, a month? I don't even know. Camp's been running all along. But, you know, in the time we've been together, he's gotten so much better. And, you know, because he's getting better, he's getting to the point where I'm starting to learn things from him. I'm starting to learn a little bit about my tendencies and what he's picking up on, so it's making me a better player as well.
So what did he show you by not backing down that Saturday practice?
That boy got hurt. I mean, a lot of rookies would go into a situation, you know, against me, against, you know, top edges in the league and stuff, and kind of back down, kind of like, you know, be a little nervous, a little bit timid. But nah, he has never, he's never shown that.
Along those lines, I know you mentioned during the game that you kind of challenged him not to give up any sacks or pressures. So after the sort of being able to watch it back a little bit, what was the consensus on, you know, how he performed in the game on Saturday?
Yeah, no, he did good. There's a couple of things I want to talk to him, you know, off air and everything like that about, you know, fixing just a couple little small things. But for the most part, he dominated. I mean, he ain't giving up anything like that. I mean, he showed exactly the reason that the Browns took him where they did. I mean, he's a great player.
Obviously, that's your style of leadership. But have you seen other guys maybe on this team, on the defense, kind of embrace that too and maybe follow your lead when it comes to being aggressive and being dominant out there on the field against an offense to sharpen that iron?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, when you see the way I attack the game, I'm very physical, very violent, very loud, very expressive is a very good word to use for it. And you see everybody else's personality start to mesh. I mean, you know, with a lot of people, when you're mixed with a lot of different people, you can't show your full personality on the field. I have no problem with that. But when you see somebody like me go out there yelling and screaming, you have no problem showing your true character. You see everyone's personality start to flourish on the field.
How much are you looking forward to going against Josh Allen and that Bills offense in practice Thursday?
I've been waiting for this one for a minute. I think joint practices are the most important thing during this, you know, preseason time frame, because, you know, a lot of teams don't play their starters in those games. So going up against, you know, Deion Dawkins, Josh Allen, these elite dudes that they got, you know, everybody across the board, running backs, tight ends, wide receivers, like they got some dogs across the board. So I'm excited just to get back to it and get some work in.
You've mentioned Deion Dawkins before. You got some kind of professional relationship with him at all, or you just respect him as a player?
I respect him as a player. I mean, my rookie year, me and him, we played each other, and it was a good game. We had gotten each other's heads. You know, it was loud and violent. It got to the point that we were making dumb errors on both sides. I'm jumping off sides. He's false starting because, like, we were just in each other's heads at that point. So it's going to be good to go up against him and see how much I've sharpened my sword.
Josh Allen before?
Nah, I got close, but that dude's that's a hard person to sack. I mean, when you go up against somebody that's your size and your weight, it's you got to hit them a little bit different.
Jared, there are a lot of different players here, obviously, a lot of
Yeah, I mean, I think the future is very important to look at, but I'm more so focused on the present before anything else. I think we got a lot of talent, but talent's just that if you don't put in the work to, you know, pull the most out of it. I think we got a lot of people that can do amazing things, but we need those amazing things today. We don't need them 2, 3, 4 years down the line. We need them today.
Have you always talked as much on the field, whether it's practice or games, that you do now?
Yeah, believe it or not, I start to calm down during games. Okay. Yeah. I talk a lot during games, but it's more so like just hype myself up, self-preservation more than anything.
So where does this, the whatever, need or desire to talk as much as you do on the practice field?
I think it just hypes everyone up. I mean, think about it, like you have 10 practices in a row. You get tired, exhausted. You don't really want to go out there and practice no more. And then, you know, you go through individual warm-ups. You're exhausted, meetings all day. Then you go up and you got some dude who just got to the team like 3 weeks ago yelling in your face saying you're not enough. You can never block him in front of a building or a facility full of fans. You're like, you're going to turn yourself up, and that's going to turn everybody else up, and it helps bring everybody to another level.
Jared, how many sacks do you think have left uncalled during practice?
You know, we got to run through the plays, man. That's how I'm answering that.
Who talks more, you or Quincy?
It depends on the aspect of it all. I mean, if you're talking, like, on the field, it's probably me. But if you talk about, like, on a, you know, team situation, team bonding trip, it's probably Quincy.
Jared, it's my understanding that the Browns are trying to sign Zadarius and that it could happen even as soon as today. What would it mean to you to have a guy like that? I know we talked about this with Jadavion a little bit. What would it mean to you to have a veteran like that on the team?
Yeah, it's a similar aspect as it was with Clowney, you know. Having that vet presence is something that, you know, I look forward to having, you know, somebody that I've never had before kind of be at that level above me where they can teach me a little bit more, they see a little bit more of the game and everything like that because, you know, those old dogs, they know a lot more than anybody like me.
And then just to go back to the joint practices, like how valuable is it for you guys up front to, I mean, to your point about keeping everyone amped up with your talking, just to see that different competition and get a chance to go up a different O-line?
Yeah, I mean, you think about the pad days or the days we have against each other, it's so much held back because we don't want to hurt your teammates. You don't chip the guard's hip, you don't run fully through the tackle, you don't, you know, light up a running back or, you know, even because you're still not going to touch a quarterback, but you don't do all that extra stuff. But, you know, when you're in a joint practice, I don't really, like, hold back as much. Like, it's more so, okay, I'm going to take your hip. I'm not going to do anything dirty, but we're going to play it like it's a full game. The only person that's not off limits or that's off limits is the quarterback.
So, Jared Verse, Browns defensive end. We saw him what he looked like in a jersey. How's that sound? On Saturday and today telling you that he's a very disrespectful. He's very disrespectful against his teammates.
That's beautiful.
I love that line. Time now for a 2020.
As always, you can listen to our show. You can listen to all of the local shows right here on The Fan on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We're in standby mode right now for Todd Monken as he gets set for his press conference. Maybe we'll get some enlightenment on how the procedure is going to go against Buffalo in the joint practice. I make it sound like it's a medical thing.
I was going to say, is that a colonoscopy?
Yeah, you know.
How's the procedure going to go, Andy?
You know, Jeff, the prep is always worse than the actual procedure. So that's the way, at least that's what I'm.
The night before meetings, those are going to be bad.
It won't be good. Oh, I never did hear. I'm sure I was told that the team probably had their team meal in the hotel.
Yeah, we got to find out if it was hotel or restaurant.
I'm sure it was. It was. The more I started talking to people that are actually, like, I probably should ask somebody who would have been at it, but I didn't. Probably at the hotel. You were probably right. I hate to say that. Kills me. Absolutely. The two people I hate telling they're right all the time, you and my wife. So congratulations on that.
Your wife and I get along so well. She's a nice lady.
That is true.
Very intelligent.
And neither one of you, both of you walk out of conversations going, how do I put up with this person? Take the words out of your mouth?
I was talking to a guy in an auto place yesterday. So we were both waiting, and he listens to our show. And he said, well, I'll be listening tomorrow. Here are the 6 or 7 times in the show that Andy will aggravate the hell out of you.
That's, you know what's crazy?
They say the same thing
to
you.
They say the exact same thing to me. They're like,
and then he said, that must be why it works.
I don't know how
you
do it.
And I said, yeah, maybe not.
I go, it's Menigan. I go, Menigan is the glue. And you should see him because his hands are stuck to his hair from the glue.
Hello,
to
Mr. Keep Elmers. Show
this, keep this thing together. Todd Monken coming up in just moments here on Baskin
and Phelps. Just don't call me Glue Factory. That's all I ask.
Good point.
Nay. Thank you. We just heard from Jared Verse. What did you think of that?
I love his attitude. I love the juice that he seems to have brought to the team, Andy. You know? I loved early on he said something about best defensive ends. And, you know, when he said something about
going up against Spencer?
Yeah, and no, he said being one of the better defensive ends in the league or something like that. And he put himself in that category. And
of course he did.
Yes. That's what I want to hear. Do it. Let's go.
I'm okay. I like him.
I think he's too. Been, I think he's been refreshing.
I'll be honest. I think Todd's refreshing, too.
Oh, yeah, the two of them.
I mean, so.
Yeah, and that's nothing about Miles, and that's nothing about Kevin. These two guys are just a little different.
He's definitely different than Miles.
Yeah.
I just wonder what his numbers are going to look like at the end of the year. I also wonder what Miles' numbers are going to look like at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Especially if they bring Aaron Donald back. What is that? Don't you think that's going to, his numbers might go down a little bit?
No, Donald could go up.
Because people are would rather run at Miles than at Donald?
No, if Aaron Donald's not there, as good as the Rams are going to be anyway, if Aaron Donald's not there, who are they going to double? Miles. If Aaron Donald's there, who are they going to double? Both? How are you going to do that?
You're not.
Yeah.
No, you can't.
So if Aaron Donald's there, they could both be in line for a big year.
I find it interesting, even just talking about Verse, knowing that they got him and traded away one of the best defensive players in the league. Like, to me, that just... That doesn't happen. You know how they always say, in a trade, you got to get something to... what's the line? You got to give something to get something.
You got
to
give up something.
Yeah, but in some ways, I feel like they traded away the best defensive player in the league for a guy who could be the best defensive player down the road. Because there's an age difference there. And the investment...
I can't argue with you on that.
Normally, I think people would go, oh, they traded Myles Garrett. Like, how stupid was that? And then you come back with not only Jared Verse, but a first-round draft pick, too. No matter how they turn out and wherever that pick is, I still find it, it's fascinating the letdown. Although, I don't know, because we're going to see for our first home game here. And then if they don't win games, then people are going to turn around and go, well, they traded Myles Garrett. And no. And like, what's the expectation that you have to have for Jared Verse? What? Did I do typical fan? Oh, I love that voice. No, they traded him. Oh, we're so bad. We suck. Oh, there goes the Haslam's traded the best. Oh, look, the Haslam's traded two of the best players in two sports in the same year.
Wanted Giannis at wide receiver.
I thought Giannis can really throw a bomb. He'd be great. 30-yard passes. And maybe they should bring Kevin Love in. He throws a great pass, too. When you look at the defense, though, Jeff, and you say to yourself, okay, look, they did lose him, I still feel a level of confidence coming back, knowing Mason Graham, knowing that you've got Jared Verse in there now. I'm still wondering what's going to go on. It seems like they held Carson Schwessinger out for an abundance of caution again. That was kind of the feeling I got before the game. I don't know where they're going with that. So hopefully we'll get some kind of clarity. Todd Monken's press conference, though. Coming up shortly right here on Baskin and Phelps, and we will carry it for you as soon as he hits the podium, which should be or could be any moment now. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3 The Fan. We are waiting for Todd Monken to hit the podium. Could happen any second here. Just a couple other headlines going on in sports before we get out to Berea and Todd Monken. AP has released their college football poll, and for the first time in 65 years, the Big Ten has the top two teams. Ohio State is number one with 40 first-place votes, and Oregon is in second with 14 first-place votes. So not a real surprise there, too. It's the first time in 65 years and just the second time ever that the Big Ten has had the number one and number two teams in the preseason top 25. I wish that actually meant something, right? Like, you're not getting t-shirts. Preseason team number one t-shirts. Let's go.
I'm sorry.
Big Ten. Woohoo! 1-2.
You mentioned Oregon and the Big Ten?
Yeah.
Huh.
I was just out in Big Ten country. Washington,
out in
Oregon,
Big Ten country.
Washington, Oregon.
Did you make your way down to those other Big Ten powerhouses out there?
It was just a stone's throw away to Iowa. I didn't think it was that big of a deal. It's not like Washington's tucked away in the corner of the United States.
Hey, goodness gracious.
Oh, they still get credit for it, though. So
yeah,
and okay. then the other, there was another headline. Again, we're waiting for Todd Monken to hit the podium. Could happen in a second. NBA, this is shocker, Jeff. Hang on a second. Hold on. NBA, this is ESPN again, too. NBA has no evidence Ballmer, Steve, funneled money to Leonard, Kawhi, through sponsors, via sponsors, is their headline. Are we surprised? Does that mean the trade goes through here then? Leonard ends up in Toronto and we're good
tuned.
To go?
Stay tuned. Never know. Stay tuned.
NBA has found no evidence showing the LA Clippers owner Steve Ballmer funneled money through team sponsors to pay Kawhi Leonard in order to circumvent salary cap.
See no evil?
That's true. You got to see it, right? It's like a referee that misses a really bad call, and you're like, hey, how did you miss that? I didn't see it. Well, that means that maybe it didn't really happen. Is that the argument we're using here? All right, Todd Monken.
We looked, Andy. We didn't find anything.
I didn't see anything. I was looking. I mean, sure, I should have looked underneath the mattress, but, I mean, you know, to me, I thought it was just a box spring and a mattress put together.
Sure.
I couldn't tell the difference.
By the way, when Todd shows up, all press conferences on 92.3 The Fan, brought to us by Expert Renovations, expertrenovationsllc.com.
Where are we going with Todd today?
I'll bet they talk about the quarterback, Andy.
Well, Anthony made a good point this morning as I was kind of perusing through their show a little. And he had said, you know, Monken seems like he's on a different page than maybe the fan
gentlemen,
basis.
We now go live to Berea for Browns head coach Todd Monken.
And all of you being on Zoom. Hey, I just got to say, I'm like, couldn't just do it out of my office. I'd have the...
They had a nice backdrop.
Gregory Industries.
I want to ask you, Dylan Sampson, it looks like you're really training him as a third down receiver here, which he didn't do last year very much or at Tennessee. Well, how's he filling in that?
Well, he's electric with the ball in his hands. So how do we get that to him? I think over time he's going to be a guy that's a tough matchup. He's learning how to... wasn't really what they did at Tennessee. Great point, where we can get him to, when he gets matched up on a linebacker, be an advantage for us. I think he has that in him. You saw the catch he made on the sideline on a scramble inside here a week ago. So there's a lot there to like. Now, as we get to practice and we get in games, can he hold up in protection? That's the biggest thing, because it's one thing to say you're a matchup. It's another to say, okay, how am I going to hold up when I've got to protect a blitzing linebacker, safety off the edge? Kyle Hamilton comes off the edge, and we need you to really stick him. That's where it'll come down to.
Todd, with Casey, you saw the punt return on Saturday. How do you guys have a sense going in, like how much of that he'll be doing during the season? Will it be every time? We've seen some other guys that practice taking punts and sort of balancing that with what he's responsible.
Well, from what we saw when we drafted him and then getting him here, I hope we're trying to get him the ball as often as we can. I mean, that dude is explosive. He's tough. He's got great contact balance. He's understands situational football. Part of that is punt return. You know, we talked about it, you know, before the game, like, do we want to put him back? Do we want to put him at risk? Well, it's our only away game. If he's going to do it in Jacksonville, let's get him one there. Even if we want to have him fair catch it, thank God we didn't go down that road. Right, let him be explosive, right? I mean, that's we got to find a number of ways to get him the ball, again, with his explosiveness, his quickness, his contact balance. So whether that's punt return, kick return, screens, shallows, down the field routes, he's going to be a real weapon for us.
With the guy like him, and I'm sure you've had, I know you've had other guys like this in your career, is a play caller, do you go into a game with like a number in mind that we have to get this guy the ball X number of times?
You do, and then games change, right? You have a certain amount and it goes a certain way and you end up running it more than throwing it. Or it goes the other way and you're behind and the wideouts are happy and the running backs are pissed, right? It's one or the other, right? So it's like you go into it saying, okay, who are our touch guys? But a lot of times the defense decides that. So he is one of those guys. The reason you can use him as a touch guy because you can use him in a variety of ways. Right, you can hand it to him. You can throw a screen to him. Certain other guys aren't nearly as much volume because they're more route-running guys. They're not really return-type styles. So that makes it a little bit harder to say, I want to get this many touches.
Todd,
How valuable, I mean, even going back to Dylan, because he's probably one of those touch guys, right? How valuable are those guys when you are kind of hunting some of those matchups and trying to find that stuff, even for, you know, more traditional type players?
Sure. Well, our job is to find out what our players do really well. What are they elite at? They made it to the NFL because of a trait that they had. Now, how do we develop and round out their skill set, right? That's what coaching is and development is. And so how are we able to get players with an elite skill set to do what they do best without being so tendency-oriented that that's all you do when they're in? Does that make sense? Like, how do you get them in your rotation and utilizing them that allows you to function at a really high level? And that's what I really like about Sam. I think he's going to be an explosive player. You just got to get him in space.
Todd, you mentioned that you were going to be talking to Joe Brady yesterday, and I know you guys are mostly kind of working through the mm-hmm. practice schedule, but did you guys kind of talk about the starters and the plans mm-hmm. for the actual game? And then if he's not going to start any of his starters, how might that impact what you do?
Well, we both talked about that. If we see out of our ones, our group, our older players, what we want to see on Thursday, they would not play in the game. We agreed upon that. Okay, the plan is that we'll play our ones a significant amount against each other, right, on Thursday in a controlled environment. Not that the other guys aren't going to get reps, but in a controlled environment and see where we're at. I would assume if it's anything like we've practiced before, that it'll be on point with what we want and what we see, and then we get to see where we stack up against one of the premier teams over the last 10 years making the playoffs. I'm excited for that because in that practice we get to see our ones against ones, right? And so that's going to be fun. I got a lot of respect for Joe and the staff there and what Sean initially started and where Joe's trying to take it, and hopefully they're going to have a lot of respect for the way we play and the way we practice and handle ourselves.
Questions, but hear me out. Special jurors missed 9 practices in a quarter of the game. Is there a reason to be concerned about that, or are you just being overly cautious?
I would stick to the latter. You know, just being overly cautious. We're hopeful that we'll get him back next week. But we're just being overly cautious. Do not see it then.
Hey, Todd. Luke Floria caught that nice pass from Judah. What have you seen from Floria here?
Well, all he does is come out and practice his rear end off and make plays when called upon. You know, a few weeks ago we ran that little around to him and I didn't even know he was in until he got it and hell ran away from dudes. I'm like, well, this guy's pretty good. I just love the way he plays football. Like, the guy loves football. And all he does is come out and compete every day and make plays when given opportunities.
Quinn John, stronger gear, probably a guy you want to get the ball to a lot. Also a guy that you want to keep healthy, and ideally, you know, maybe he peaks as the weather gets worse. How can you do both of those things?
It's hard. Luckily, we had a really strong offseason. When the guys came back, we've practiced hard. And I think what we've seen through that is we made it through the game the other day pretty unscathed, which is, again, shouldn't say anything because we play again this week. But, again, I think we're calloused, and you can see that. Quinshawn played a little more than we would have wanted Saturday. We went 3 and out the first drive, unfortunately, so we wanted to get him back in there one more drive with the O-line. And then once we got the next drive, we took them out, the older players, wanted to see Spencer and some of the younger wideouts. But Q's a real weapon, man. He's a bull. He is tough as hell. We didn't really block anybody, and somehow he got 8 yards, you know, so that'll tell you.
Todd, hearing from Jared today, and we talked to him about his talking and sort of how it motivates him, and he hopes it motivates his teammates, but the sort of talking he does coupled with the way he rushes with that power, is he just a guy that can wear down opposing offenses?
I think that's a good way of putting it. I do think he's a guy that backs it up. Like, he's not a phony. He's highly competitive, and it gets him going. His juices start flowing, and he's a self-made guy, man. Like, and he just wants to be great. He just wants to be elite and help his team win. And it's fun to be around. It's contagious because he backs it up. Like, he only knows one speed. And that is what's fun to be around, a guy that backs it up.
He also mentioned that
go ahead.
He also mentioned that the difference he's seen in this camp to the other couple he's been in is the heavy load. He mentioned physically and mentally. I'm curious, how do you think your mostly young roster has handled everything you put on him in these first couple of weeks?
First of all, they've been awesome. I mean, I said it before. I mean, what's really cool is they let me be me. They just do. And I'm not perfect, but they let me be me and coach them and be authentic and be honest with them. And they're honest with themselves. And so that's been really fun. Yeah, it's going to be a little bit harder just because that's what I know. I don't know the other way. It's not that the other way is better or this one's better. I only know what I know. So you're always trying to look at, and then other ways people do it. But then, okay, where are we at? I've pulled back on days. We've gone helmets. We've gone an hour and a half. We haven't just stayed with the schedule of what I set up. But our guys have really accepted it. Our coaches have done a great job of managing the reps. I like to keep the practice the same. Just manage the reps. It's fine. We don't have vet days off. Come on out there. Put your gear on. And then we'll manage your reps. Because we're a team. That's what a team does.
As you self-assessed your own performance on Saturday, what did you like? What did you feel like this, this is something that, my first time as an NFL head coach in a game, I need to really, I still need to get adjusted.
Well, first I got to get a gauge before they pull the flag out of where the 50-yard line is, because I wasn't sure. And, the fans, like the people that holding the flag, they pulled it out, and I didn't know, was at the 45. It was almost like the quarterback going under the guard instead of the center. I was trying to figure that out. So that was pretty cool, figuring that out, to get that straight. Joking aside, calling it was not that difficult. We're on the field. That was not difficult. The interesting thing is, and I saw Ken around here. He's sneaking around here somewhere. And I was telling him that when you're in between series, it's the same when I was at Southern Miss, okay, you're in between series. You're trying to balance. This was really cool. All right, I'm on the headset with Rudy. He's a new D coordinator, right? What are they calling? I want to be dialed in. Do we need to throw a flag, right? I want to hear the offensive staff. What's the next drive going to look like? You want to look at the surface. What just happened? You might want to have a comment with the quarterbacks or the receivers. There's a lot more, actually, when we don't have the ball than when we have the ball. Once you've decided, just pick one and go at that point. But it's in between the series where you're like, all right, man, there's a lot more. You work through just being honest, and it was cool. I mean, obviously, being back home, and I felt very calm. Everything was fine. Didn't finish the way we wanted, but I love the way our guys competed. And there's a lot of those things you work through, and there just is, whether it's how you warm up, how you prepare, certain things that we did during the game. Well, I'm not going to comment about that. I really don't know where it's at, so I'll leave that to Andrew.
Todd, the joint practices have been sort of they've gotten more and more prominent over the years for teams this time of year. Are you somebody who subscribes to the idea that the joint practices are maybe a better evaluation tool for your team, your roster, all that, than even preseason games?
Somewhat. They're both, to me, important. If coaches weren't afraid of getting their guys hurt, there's no way they would say that a joint practice is like a game. There's no way. Because everything matters when you're stacking plays. Unless we move the ball, which we're going to at the end against them, there are no consequences. There aren't consequences for a trip. Luckily, we overcame it. But there isn't a damn game, right? Or being down on the clock. Or coming out of the tunnel as a rookie, right? Right, taking the field, the jitters of that. Number one, KC catching a punt. Does that make sense? There's so much value in it, and then you have to weigh the injury factor, right? You have to weigh that. I think Coach Harbaugh got, in 1 year they lost J.K. Dobbins and Justice Hill in the preseason. Well, what are you going to do then? You sure as hell aren't going to play the starters anymore, for God's sakes. You've been scarred, right? We all get scarred in life. But no one's going to say that a controlled environment's better in a game, but if you're going to play one-on-ones, it's pretty damn close, if that makes sense. You'd love to play your guys, and still, it used to be what? Play a quarter, play a half, start the third quarter, and then no one plays, and I thought that was really cool. You got a little bit of both. Okay, I know I rambled there, but it's like you want to see against the ones, and you'd love in a game environment to really kind of get it all.
That's kind of a two-part question. Do you intend to
use the third game as like your dress rehearsal game? Not there yet. I'm leaning towards that, but I'm not there yet. We'll see how we practice Thursday, and then we'll see how we play on Saturday.
So the follow-up question to that would be, you know...
Couldn't leave it there, could you? No.
I mean, would it be fair to expect that a decision is moving at quarter?
Oh, you're putting words in my mouth. I wouldn't say that. Would I like to have a decision today? Of course. Would I like a decision by next Monday? Of course. Oh, I'd love to have that decision. And we'll see. We've got a lot of football this week. We've already had a lot of football. We've got 4 days of practice and a game that all adds into any decision with the roster and who the starters are. Some are further along than others, right? We already know. That's part of it. And I'm okay. By the time we get to next week, that'd be great. We can start planning that way, have some practices, and then here we go against Jacksonville.
Two more here.
Will Watson play the third quarter?
He will. Yes, it'll be Shador, just like we did the other day. And if one continues like Shador went into the fourth quarter, we'll do the exact same thing. He was so excited he went back out there again. I said, no, Dylan's out there. Get off the damn field.
Is there a world, though, in which if you get enough, like, really, really good one-on-one work versus the Bills on Thursday, could you possibly pivot from that with Deshaun playing the third quarter, or are you definitely?
Oh, that's the way it's going to go. Shador probably going to go that way. I'm not going to paint myself in the corner. Shador's going to play the first half. Deshaun will play the third quarter. Dylan will play the fourth quarter as we speak right now.
Thank you.
That was it. Thank you.
All right. Well, at least you know the rundown for Saturday's preseason game. Let's get more into this here in a moment. Baskin and Phelps, 92.3, The Fan.